From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, hello, everybody. This is Joe Hoft live from the hurricane-stricken area of Florida in the East Coast of the United States of America. And safe and sound and able to join you today. I was actually worried we might lose our power or whatever, but we're fine. There were some big waves, and I even saw a video of a couple sharks floating downstream, down some road here on the one of the islands off the coast of Florida. So haven't seen any sharks today, have seen some big waves, but we are fine here in the USA. I haven't heard of any real major damage from this hurricane. The last one was certainly devastating on the west side of the state. Haven't heard of any deaths. Probably will be some destruction, but overall, I think it was, as hurricanes go, it was pretty light. It's kind of unique coming here to the east side of the U.S. after being in Hong Kong for about a decade and experiencing typhoons there. Very similar. I guess after a while, you kind of get used to them. There was a couple real bad ones, at least one real bad one in Hong Kong. Fortunately, I was out of town. My wife had to rough it out herself in Hong Kong once when I was on a trip actually to Australia. But other than that, I really didn't have to sit through a lot of really major typhoons in Hong Kong. And last night's here in the States wasn't so bad either. So fortunate for that and blessed to be alive and well and with you today. So lots going on still in the news. The big subject matter now has moved from the Pelosi sham, the total lie about Paul Pelosi. And I say that because of all the information that we have now on that event where Paul Pelosi supposedly had someone break into his house, come in and claim they wanted to get Nancy, and then somehow Mr. Pelosi got away and was able to call 911 and say that his friend David was with him, and the 911 operator, through her brilliance, said, maybe we should send a policeman over. The police came over for a well check. They found Paul Pelosi and this other individual apparently fighting over a hammer. They stood there and let it go on until the other person, who's half the age of Paul Pelosi, this guy by the name of David Pape or Pape, however you want to say it, however is the correct way to say it. They were fighting over this hammer. Pape grabbed it, supposedly hit Mr. Pelosi. And that's when finally the police broke in. Now, I've talked to a policeman who was a lieutenant with the New York Police Department. He said, no. You're not going to walk in and see two guys fighting over a hammer. Just stand there and leave it be to see who can get the hammer. That's not the way it works. They would have intervened immediately to get that hammer out of the place of both actors. And of course, we haven't seen any video yet from the break-in. We haven't seen any video from the police cameras. We haven't heard anything from DePapi. His rights, I guess, for free speech have been eliminated. He's been thrown in jail. And no one could see him when he went into the court. No one could see him when he exited the court and was given these charges by the local actors, let alone the federal actors. So we're just supposed to believe our media and Nancy Pelosi and Paul Pelosi, two of the most corrupt people maybe on earth, let alone in the U.S. And just trust them. This guy was a Trump supporter. He's a nudist, but a nudist Trump supporter. His wife's a massive progressive, and she said so is he, but He's a Trump supporter, because there's a couple websites out there that have his name on them, and those websites were created recently and some in the past, and they have couple of these websites have some anti-establishment kind of pro-Trump leaning articles in them. And David DePapi, who's lived in his garage for like the last year, or two, he somehow had Wi-Fi there enough to draft these emails and post them within seconds of each other that have unique and original material in them that's not found anywhere else on the internet. And he could do that within seconds, maybe even on his iPhone while from his garage. So that's why we know those websites are his, and they say that he must be a Trump supporter. His wife's a nudist, and so is he, and they both do a lot of drugs. And of course, we've never seen a nudist at a Trump rally, but we're to believe these people that this is true because Paul Pelosi says so. I mean, he said so, and we're supposed to believe that anybody could walk within 100 yards of the Pelosi home and not get stopped. We're just supposed to believe that somebody walked around to the back of the house, somehow broke the glass, and had the glass come backwards on them onto the outside of the house, break a tiny hole in a window that nobody could fit through, away from the door, somehow reach 4 feet to the door that was open and left open for the crime scene, and somehow open those doors with a 4 foot reach, and then walk into the house unnoticed with no alarms going off, no motion detectors identifying them, and make it upstairs to the Pelosi bedroom where Paul Pelosi was sleeping. And by the way, this DePapi reportedly from the FBI said when he got up there, he felt tired. He wanted to sleep. But he and Mr. Pelosi then came downstairs and met the policeman at the front door, at which point DePapi later says that he was in there because he wanted to break Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps, and it was all an attack based on politics. And that's it. It doesn't have anything to do at all with the tweet that Elon Musk put out of this report coming out of San Francisco that says that Paul Pelosi is known in the gay clubs as somebody that frequents them, and this DePapi is known as well by even a local senator as someone who frequents them. This local senator is a freak and basically a pedophile because he's pushing for some sort of children's sex that's just grotesque. And but he knew DePapi, but we're not supposed to consider any of that. This article that says perhaps it was a hookup because people know that DePapi and Mr. Pelosi have been engaged in gay relationships in the past, or at least acts. And then some people say they wonder about Mr. Pelosi's recent arrest for a DWI, where there was rumors that there was somebody with him, and that they never have been confirmed. But some people believe maybe DePapi was the individual who was with him then. We don't know. I guess we're not going to be told the answers to those questions. And if we were, we wouldn't believe him anyways, because these people have done so much to lie to us almost every day, if not every day, especially Nancy Pelosi, the head of the House. And so that was the big news a week ago. Now this week it's the election, and it involves Nancy Pelosi again. The Democrats were supposed to get shellacked from somewhere between a win for the Republicans of maybe 9 seats to an additional potential, another 34. So maybe a potential 43 seat win for the GOP. For some reason that didn't happen. Now, couldn't be voter fraud. That couldn't be the case, because of course, you know, we know from our media that there's no such thing as voter fraud in the U.S. Now, don't go and buy my books, the Steal Number One and Steal Number Two about the 2020 election, because that would show that there was voter fraud. We're supposed to listen to Nancy Pelosi and to these fraudsters in our media that lie to us every day. That's who we listen to about voter fraud. And so don't listen to me, and don't read my books, which are cheap and only 10 bucks a piece at Amazon and Barnes & Noble in the U.S. You can get online and have them delivered, or buy the soft version as well. Don't listen to me. Listen to Nancy Pelosi, because we can trust her, because she's the lady that stood behind Trump and tore up his speech after he spoke in front of the United States, acknowledging all his massive successes as a president 1 year in his State of the Union address. We can trust Nancy. because Nancy is a trustworthy person. She's made millions, multi-millions, maybe a quarter of a million, maybe a billion since becoming the speaker. But she didn't take it illegally. She shared some information with her husband. He made some stock deals. Of course, if you followed those, you'd be very wealthy because there's a site out there that even that does. And those that follow that site make a lot of money. Just follow what Paul does. But he's not getting that information from Nancy. It's not insider trading. It just happens to be that in a couple of these cases, like maybe every one, after he invested in a company, Congress made some changes in the laws that benefited those companies. So, but don't think that there's insider trading there, which is illegal in the U.S. This is Nancy Pelosi, and she's honest with us. And we're supposed to believe her about the election and how 40-some seats for the Republicans. Well, it's because of Donald Trump that we didn't win them. It's Donald Trump's fault. That's what Frank Luntz wants us to believe. Frank Luntz, of course, is now the roommate of Kevin McCarthy. Luntz is this chunky guy that's hated Trump for years and does these polls where he sets him up, and they're garbage, and we know that. But don't trust your gut. Trust Frank Luntz and Kevin McCarthy, who now people say – may become the new speaker if Nancy's, you know, not doesn't win it back. But of course, we've still got to count these elections because by God, there's 60,000 votes, and we can't do that in a night. We've got to we can't do what France does with 40 million votes in a night. We've got to make sure that we do this at least within 30 days, and we'll get you an answer soon. Of course, everything's valid. We're not going to make any changes. There's not going to be any fraud at all. Don't you mention that word. We wouldn't do that. We like seeing our candidates. We, the Democrats, like seeing our candidates win. I mean, this. I'm being satirical, I hope you know. This is a joke what's going on in our state, in our country. And Nancy Pelosi is a big part of it. And we can only hope and pray that that lady is gone here within a couple months, because she is one of the most corrupt individuals in U.S. history. Just a nasty piece of crazy work. She and her husband, and God only knows what goes on in that house. So I tell you what, we've got a great show ahead, though. I'll maybe not be sarcastic in the next segment, as we have one of our favorite people with us, Lawrence Sellin, and he's going to talk to us about the truth about China's intervention into the United States and how people like Nancy Pelosi don't seem to care. And so we are going to discuss that shortly. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Might be days before we get the results of the election.
Jean-Pierre said that waiting days is how this is supposed to work. No, Corinne, it's not. Back when we had paper ballots, we had results the same day. Here in New York, we used to have mechanical machines that were called one-armed bandits, which is also the nickname for slot machines that are rigged, because you would flip down the little lever over the name of the person you wanted to vote. There was a whole matrix of different people with little levers above their name, and you'd click down the little lever. And then to enter your vote, there was a big handle right across the machine, and the handle also operated the curtain. So you'd walk into the booth, flip the handle to the left, close the curtain, reset the machine, make all your vote selections, and then you move the handle to the right. Opens the curtain, and it registers your vote. Or did it? They were rigged just like slot machines could be. So rigged machines are nothing new. We know all about them here in New York State. But to say that waiting days to find out the results of an election is nothing more than a cover story for corruption. They need to figure out how many votes they need to cheat by. And all of a sudden, oh, what do you know? Several days later, they're going to find votes.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election, for people of faith, is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoft, and we are back at the Joe Hoft Show here live on TNTRadio.live. And I have my good friend and really expert in so many areas, Lawrence Sellin, with me. Lawrence, how you doing?
Very good, Joe. Thank you for inviting me on your program.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. Gosh, there's so much to talk about. I guess we can jump into China in a moment, but what are your thoughts on the election before we do that?
Well, we're seeing a repeat in 2022 of what happened in 2020. And the Gateway Pundit has really been following this story for 2 years now, and is reporting on the same things that happened 2 years ago. For example, this drop and roll technique that they're using, ballots coming in the middle of the night after hours, et cetera, et cetera. So all the things that we saw during the 2020 election are happening again. They had 2 years to fix it. They looks like they didn't do anything at all to stop this. And people need to know that the Democrats, they don't care about votes. What they care about are ballots. And what they're doing is, collecting ballots. They don't, people are irrelevant to them. It's just, getting the ballots and getting the power and then pursuing their crazy policies.
Yeah, absolutely. I had Pam Geller on my show before, and she said this to me. She said, well, the foundation of our country, of the Constitution, is free speech. And she says, if we don't have free and fair elections, we don't, it's all gibberish. And I actually thought that was profound. I've said it a number of times since she said it. I thought, that's right. We've got to get these elections straightened out. Unfortunately, don't know if that's going to happen. Although we may win the House, although they're going to try to steal it. And, so we got to be on our toes. They're going to try to steal the Senate too. The GOP could still win the Senate as well, but we just got to stop some of this fraud. And there's like three key races left, and Republicans should win them all. So we'll see. Yeah. So Lawrence, last week we talked for some time about COVID and all your expert research regarding COVID. And by the way, Jim and I believe it was over this past weekend. Time's kind of seems like a long time ago now with all the recent news with the election. But we saw Bobby Kennedy's movie, at least the first part regarding COVID and Dr. Fauci. It's the real Dr. Fauci movie. It really validated all that we've reported in a big part of information that you sent us. Have you seen that movie yet?
No, I haven't. I've seen the trailer, so I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing.
Yeah, you'll love it. It's because it's just right up, it's just, like Jim said, we just felt validated. We've been writing this stuff. We got hammered for it. We got attacked. We get told we're, fake news, and the fact checkers come. And everything we've said has been validated in this movie. It's just absolutely, we were spot on. And that's why you get attacked. And that's what's happening now. Anytime you're over target, they really attack you. So anyways, you have, in addition to just your awareness of what was happening with COVID and in China, especially in Wuhan, and all the activities actually throughout the country, you also have noticed and identified that Chinese have really infiltrated the U.S. in really multiple areas. And would you be able to kind of share with us and the people listening today just, what that all entails and what you're, what you've seen, what you've observed?
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Joe. It really goes back to well, I've written about China's biowarfare program, and the Chinese infiltration of the U.S. Is related to that, because there are three levels to China's biowarfare program. The first level is the military level, which is secret. It's military research labs, military hospitals. Now, the second level involves all China's universities and the so-called civilian research centers like the Wuhan Institute of Virology and also their biotech firms. And people need to understand that there's no difference between civilian and military research in China. And it's not me saying that. It was the Chinese Communist Party in the 13th five-year plan in 2016, they said they mandated the fusion of civilian and military research. Now, the third level are all the international laboratories, and China's military gains access to the international laboratories, like research laboratories in the United States, through the second level. So they use their universities in China to connect with laboratories internationally, in particular in the United States. Now, I basically said that China has infiltrated our university laboratories, in particular, practically every university, major university in the United States, has been infiltrated by people who are still loyal to the Chinese Communist Party, but it also includes the military, and in particular Fort Detrick, which is where our biowarfare program is. So, you know, like the southern border, Fort Detrick is wide open, but in this case, to China. Now, this all started during the Carter administration, 1979, when he made an agreement with then Chinese President Deng Xiaoping for scientific exchange. But it really took off during the Clinton administration. And unbelievably, the Clinton administration actually invited uniform People's Liberation Army scientists into U.S. Army research centers. And it was also during the Clinton administration that waves of Chinese scientists began arriving in the United States, who then exploited our legal immigration system. And I call it scientific chain migration. And here's how it works, basically. A young scientist from China would complete a PhD or a postdoctoral training in the United States. He would then be hired by a U.S. university or research center and eventually apply for U.S. citizenship. Now, that Chinese scientist working in the U.S. would then establish extensive research collaboration with scientists in China and become what I call an anchor for additional waves of Chinese scientists to be trained in the U.S., inviting them into his laboratory, for example, and then taking American knowledge, skills, and technology back to China, while others also become U.S. citizens and repeating that kind of pattern. Now, 40 years ago, there were only two research centers at Fort Detrick, and that was the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or it's also called USAMRID, and the National Institute of Health Frederick Cancer Research Center. Now, one result of China's of Clinton's irresponsible policy was that China learned that they could gain access to the Army Center, the USAMRID Center, through the NIH Frederick Cancer Research Center. So these scientific anchors, they're invited Chinese scientists into their laboratories and thus increasing China's presence in Fort Detrick. Now, about 15 years ago, the U.S. biodefense effort was consolidated at Fort Detrick, which now has facilities of eight federal agencies. And one of these is Fauci, Anthony Fauci's pet project. He wanted to get into the biodefense area. So NIH built a larger research center at Fort Detrick called the Integrated Research Facility. Now, this is basically a hollow shell because the entire thing is run by outside contractors. And in fact, it is those contractors who have been hiring Chinese scientists to fill research positions at Fort Detrick, apparently without much consideration for national security. So, you know, Fort Detrick, which is the center of our biodefense effort in the United States, is now, at least in my opinion, thoroughly infiltrated by scientists who very likely are still loyal to the Chinese Communist Party.
Is there a similar situation in China where they have U.S. scientists working in their key military areas for bio defense or whatnot?
Certainly not in the military. And it's very rarely that you'll see U.S. scientists who are working inside China. You know, you talk about a handful in comparison.
Yeah, yeah. Except for, I guess, Dr. Fauci. He's probably all over that country, isn't he?
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty amazing that the people who have been who have been and are still working in the U.S. military laboratories, that many of them, as I said, came in during Clinton administration. We have one guy, his name is Chu Yong Luo. He is was actually working at China's chemical defense, military chemical defense center, and went directly from there to Walter Reed Army Hospital, and then established a collaboration with the U.S. Chemical Defense Center at Aberdeen Proving Ground. He later went on to work at the U.S. Patent Office, where he reviews all the technologies, patent technologies about biowarfare and chemical warfare and chemical warfare defense at the U.S. Patent Office. We have one Chinese scientist that came to the U.S. Army Medical Research Detachment in San Antonio, Texas, studying lasers. And unbelievably, this woman is shown in a photograph actually in a U.S. Army uniform. And that just astounded me. No, really, she's there in the photograph, in the group photograph, wearing a U.S. Army uniform. Now, I don't know what happened to her. Her name is Guoping Li. But there is a Guoping Li working at China's space program on laser technologies for radio telescopes. Another guy who's a permanent employee at Fort Detrick, his name is Xian Kun Zhang. He's from Nanjing, and he worked at a laboratory in Nanjing that actually has close relationships with the People's Liberation Army. He actually goes back to China and gives lectures about the work he's doing on the deadly Ebola and Marburg viruses, the work that he's doing at Fort Detrick, essentially, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, one of them, and in other universities in China, telling, basically the Chinese, what's going on at Fort Detrick. And it goes on and on and on. This recent woman, Yu Lucy Kong, who came from China's Center for Disease Control, worked with her mentor is a guy named Wei Jing Tan. Wei Jing Tan, in addition to being at China's Center for Disease Control, is also affiliated with the Central Theater Command's People's Liberation Army General Hospital in Wuhan, and has an extensive background working with the Chinese People's Liberation Army scientists. So, it goes on and on and on. And these people are, at Fort Detrick working there.
This stuff's just amazing. How did you locate all these people? How did you end up identifying them?
Well, it's done all through open source research. I mainly look at the publications. You can track people where they're working by following, what they published over the years. So, it's really, backtracing these individuals from they're now at Fort Detrick working. Where did they work before that? Where in China do they work? Have they been working? Where the money's coming from? What really astounds me is that this very large NIH research center at Fort Detrick is it's run entirely by contractors, and these contractors are, for example, Battelle, Lau Lima, one called Lovelace. It's interesting in the publications when they publish information, they say, "Well, this person works at Lovelace." It seems as if they're actually trying to hide it by purposely misspelling it, but it's the Lovelace Respiratory Research Institute, and another one in particular, pharmaceutical product development. And I think this is where perhaps the Chinese people are coming from, because they have five different offices and one laboratory in China. And I'm really wondering whether the Chinese government is actually paying these contractors to place Chinese scientists into Fort Detrick.
And they'd be American contractors?
Yes, these are all American contractors.
Jeez. This stuff is just so shocking.
To me, it's unbelievable. One of those actually, as I said, has, you know, five offices and a laboratory in China. And some of these scientists come from Shanghai and they have an office in Shanghai. I haven't checked it carefully to trace individuals to that particular office. But, I don't think any consideration for national security is being done. In fact, the individual who's actually the manager, who's apparently hiring these Chinese scientists into Fort Detrick, is not even an American, it's a German.
It just can't make this stuff up. It's like, how did our country get so corrupted? And I mean, you're just talking about one facility, Fort Detrick, right? I mean, you have shared with us mountains of evidence and articles that we've put up where there's these Chinese all over our universities, all involved in biomed. And you've said before, but basically billions of dollars of American know-how, knowledge, and even grants has been given to the Chinese to help them build their biomedical defense program.
Yeah, and you can go through the scientific literature and see that these scientists in the United States, these Chinese nationals who are working in the United States, they may even be citizens by now, who are being funded by, for example, Anthony Fauci and NIH for millions and millions of dollars. They maintain active research programs with Chinese scientists, and many of whom are Chinese scientists who work for the People's Liberation Army. So they have direct connections with China's biodefense program while they're taking money from U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah, you just sit back, you just shake your head. You're just like, my God, what can we do to fix this situation? Because, you know, China is trying to eat our lunch every day. And this is the thing that hits me. America's just in the ozone layer. They have no idea that China's at war with us, and they don't understand it. And I remember Steve Bannon saying this a few years ago when I was in Hong Kong. I saw him give this presentation where he says there's information, there's economic, and then there's outright kinetic war. And he goes, China's at war with us. It may not be right now kinetic, where we're just, you know, shooting guns at each other. May soon be if they invade Taiwan or not. We don't know what Biden's going to do, if he'll just allow it to happen. But they've certainly had an economic war with the U.S. and an information war. And under Trump, they were getting destroyed. He started destroying these guys single-handedly, economically, and I believe in information as well. Now, it seems like everything Biden's doing is helping China. So I don't think Biden's going to do anything about it. What can we do about it? Any other comments on those things I just mentioned as well?
Well, first of all, Biden made it worse. I mean, keep in mind that within weeks of Biden's, in my opinion, illegitimate inauguration, he ended President Trump's what was called the China Initiative, which was a Department of Justice program investigating economic espionage and intellectual property theft by China, in particular through, you know, U.S. universities. So Biden stopped that program that President Trump put in place to, you know, to halt this massive flow of intellectual property from the United States back to China through these many cases, through these Chinese scientists who are working in the United States. So I think the thing to do is we have to, you know, expose what's going on. I would suspect that 99% of the Americans don't realize how infiltrated U.S. university laboratories are, in particular virus university laboratories, are doing viral research, many of which are doing, you know, potentially very dangerous research with viruses, and how, you know, the U.S. taxpayer is funding these people who are working directly with China and Chinese scientists, many of whom are working with the People's Liberation Army scientists. So what has happened because of this massive, you know, scientific migration of Chinese scientists in the United States and basically colonizing U.S. universities, you know, the entire U.S. R&D program is essentially an extension of China's R&D program, and we're paying for it.
Not the other way around. Not that China is an extension of U.S.
No, it's we've just become essentially their scientific servants, and they're using our universities as you know, extensions of their research programs, because all the information is flowing back back to China that we're paying for.
And everybody wakes up each morning and just thinks everything's fine, and this stuff's going on. It's just unbelievable. It's, you know, I guess I'm kind of shocked by this, Lawrence, even after talking to you for how many times and your excellent analysis and articles that you've put up, you know, quite often at the Gateway Pundit. They're just excellent. But this is really pretty shocking. It's like we knew that, we knew that the election was stolen. We knew there was massive corruption under when Trump just started. When Trump came in, it's just like all these, I don't know, like whack-a-mole. Everywhere there's just things are popping up, massive corruption. And now it's like, my God, this is like crisis situation, isn't it?
Well, yes, indeed, because it's not just, you know, economic and intellectual property theft that's going on, you know, via Chinese in the United States who are loyal to the Chinese Communist Party, but they're actually actively participating in Chinese propaganda. You know, we infiltrated one of their WeChat groups. It was a Chinese language WeChat group, and we infiltrated it. And there are some of these well-known Chinese scientists who are in the United States, probably U.S. citizens, who were basically talking about extending China's propaganda to the United States. In this particular case, it was about the laboratory origin of COVID-19. They were talking to their colleagues in the United States and also back to the Chinese scientists in mainland, in communist China, and coordinating of how they would extend, you know, China, the Chinese Communist Party narrative in the United States that, you know, that COVID-19 came from nature and not actually where it came from, which was a laboratory. And in this discussion, unbelievably, and we have, you know, screenshots of these this chat that's going on, was the Batwoman, Zhang Lixi of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, who was telling these Chinese scientists working in the United States, well, you have to put out more publications saying that COVID-19 virus came from nature and not from the laboratory. So they were, you know, not only collaborating with the Chinese Communist Party scientists about science, but also about propaganda.
And that was in the U.S.? Or was that in China?
Yes, these are U.S., these are Chinese scientists who came from China, have been working in the United States for 20 or 30 years, are in major universities, they're professors in major universities, they're in this WeChat group talking about how they can extend the Chinese Communist Party narrative in the United States. And talking, as I said, they were one of the, Zhang Lixi, the Batwoman of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, was within one of these discussions on WeChat. And after we exposed it on the Gateway Pundit, they closed it down.
Wow. Just probably jumped and grabbed another account somewhere.
Probably. They're probably just, still doing it. But these are well-known professors at well-known U.S. universities who are on there talking about how they can, in what sounds like, do Chinese Communist Party propaganda in the United States. And they actually published papers very early in the pandemic saying, oh, no, there's no evidence that it came from a laboratory. It came from nature. So they were, you know, following through with from these discussions that they were having.
Wow. Just amazing stuff. It's just shocking. It's just shocking. Each one of these stories is requires an investigation. And you've just unwound, it seems like, hundreds of these stories like this. And American people have no idea what's going on. And Joe Biden doesn't want us to know, it appears. Seems to me everything he's done is to help China. Period.
Everything. Yeah, well, he shut down that program that President Trump started to stop this hemorrhaging of our technologies, our knowledge and skills back to China.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, I tell you what, Lawrence, talking to you is always it's a pleasure, but it's always so informative. I really appreciate you taking your time to chat with us today. We'll have to have you on again soon. You're just a wealth of knowledge, and really appreciate all that you do, not just joining me here today, but also at the Gateway Pundit. So thank you very much for spending your time with us today.
And thank you, Joe.
Yep. Well, this is the Joe Hoff Show. We'll be right back here after a short break.
Welcome to the wacky world of climate. Germany dismantles wind farms to expand coal mines.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The German energy company RWE has begun taking down its wind turbines to make room to further expand coal mines. It seems energy reality has finally arrived in Germany. The utopian vision of solar panels and windmills powering the economy has not panned out. When asked why green energy was not expanding instead of coal, the German energy company had this to say, quote, "We realize this comes across as paradoxical, but that is as matters stand," unquote. So the next time you see a climate activist spray painting a building or pouring soup on a famous painting claiming that windmills will save the earth, just show them Germany and tell them that coal is what will save their life. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Forget your mobile and what's the worst thing that can happen? You have to find the last payphone in Britain. Forget Valentine's Day, tricky one, but nothing a little charm couldn't solve. Forget that the dishwasher actually works a lot better if you turn it on and it's a few excuses about dodgy wiring. Forget to check the batteries in your smoke alarm, and maybe one night poisonous smoke fumes from a fire will drift silently upstairs and suffocate you or your family. Remember, test them every week. Push the button, not your luck.
You're listening to Joe Hoff on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff. We're back. That commercial was something else. Listening to that reminded me of last night. So talking about testing your smoke alarms, et cetera. So we're in Florida right now, and there was a hurricane last night. And in the facility that we're staying at, the alarm went off in the middle of the night. And so lost a little bit of sleep. There was nothing as far as we know of, that any fire, but for some reason the inclement weather set off the alarm. So kind of rung a bell there. Thus, I'm a bit tired today trying to make up for that lost sleep last night during the hurricane, but doing fine though. One piece that I wanted to really talk about, and this is something I've been writing about over the last 24 hours at the Gateway Pundit, is just this activity, this election, basically fraud technique is what I'd call it, that we've labeled the drop and roll. You know, we labeled this back in 2020. And could tell you how this came about. It was after the 2020 election. President Trump was just crushing Biden in excitement, enthusiasm. And I later document this in my first book on the steel, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I've got two books now on the 2020 election, steel volumes 1 and 2. But in the first book, I document how I kept track of and calculated how many people showed up at both President Trump's rallies and Biden's rallies between Labor Day and Election Day. And it really seemed like Biden didn't care. They were trying to pretend like this guy was a candidate, but he wasn't. He was incompetent. He wasn't able to physically make the grind of running for president, let alone mentally make it, let alone have the enthusiasm or the crowds behind him to really do it. There was nobody excited about Biden. It was like he was finally, it was like in South Carolina primary hit, and they're like, oh my God, well, we can't give this to Bernie, and he's running ahead. So let's give it to Joe Biden and let everybody know you got to jump out of the race because we'll cut a deal with you. We'll cut you some millions or whatever, but we're going to run with Joe. And the one thing they liked about Joe is he could easily be managed, whether it be China or Barack Obama, George Soros, World Economic Forum, whoever it might be. You could do anything with this Joe Biden. This guy is so out to lunch. And so anyways, I kept track of these rallies, and you could see Biden only had 2,000 people, less than 2,000 in that 2 or 3 month period of time, compared to Trump's 1.1 million. I mean, the difference is staggering, 500 to 1, more than 500 to 1. And Trump was getting these huge crowds, and it showed in his numbers. He ends up getting elected president in 2016, but in 2020, he received more votes than any president ever. Shattered the record, just shattered it. 75 million votes he gets. The record of most votes ever was 69 million with Barack Obama. Most votes by a president was Obama in 2012, with, I believe, around 65, 66 million votes. So Trump gained about 10 million more votes than that. Just shattered the record. So much enthusiasm. People are so tired of the media lying to him. So tired of them, you know, harassing this man who was doing the best he could for this country. So tired of just the constant attacks. And what we saw under Trump was this, it became very clear. He was like the great light, because he shined a light on all this darkness. And suddenly we see our medical community is totally corrupted. Our Department of Justice is the Department of Injustice. They're actually running with a made-up scheme from the Hillary group to pretend like President Trump was connected to Russia, which he wasn't, but they were. We know Hillary's made millions from Russia, millions, hundreds of millions the Clinton Foundation made in return. She passed and worked with Obama and Holder and others to allow Russia to purchase 20% of U.S. uranium at a mine in somewhere out on the west side of the country. Unbelievable. It never should have happened. It was illegal. It was illegal for them to authorize this. But the Clintons made more than $100 million, so they felt like it was a good deal. God knows how much Obama and the others made as well. So That was the Clinton Foundation, and that was the group that was running this Russia collusion sham, because as we mentioned yesterday with Ty Clevenger here, there was pretty much some belief that this guy by the name of Seth Rich may have been the one that gave these emails to WikiLeaks, which the media never covered, by the way. It's not like the media touched these, but the new media did, and that included the Gateway Pundit and people on Twitter and Facebook and all these efforts to get the truth out. And we knew who was in there. We saw some of these emails. They were full of corruption, full of deceit, full of just an attitude of elitism from the Clinton people, just nasty people, just really nasty people. So she needed to pin that on somebody, so she tried to pin it on Trump. And that's what they used for 4 years to harass this president. And it was all a lie, and they all knew it was a lie. So our Department of Justice is no longer justice. It's injustice. And we've seen it again with January 6th. There'll be something else come up here soon where we'll see it again. So we've got not just the Justice Department, but we've got judges that Obama put in place, which are Obama judges, which are corrupt, et cetera. And then we saw the medical community pop its head up, and we thought we could trust anybody in that community. I mean, they'd save lives. They saved my life certainly one time, and I had a lot of faith in them. Now not so much after this COVID crisis and the way that this was handled and the way these sheep doctors followed in line. I couldn't stand it. So anyways, that led us up to the election of 2020, and we saw President Trump doing the best he could, but under monster attack all the time. So he sets the record for the most votes ever, and then somehow we're seeing Joe Biden get 81 million votes, something that was preposterous, that nobody's ever done. Nobody's ever gotten 70 million, and all of a sudden Biden gets 81 million, this guy from his basement. So we know just from a high-level review as an auditor, you would say, this doesn't make any sense. you'd say, we got to look at this. Absolutely, this is not right. If you had a board of directors, they'd say, you guys need to look at this. This isn't right. There's something wrong. This is way off. And or anybody, any innocent observer can look at this and say, something ain't right. This is not right. You need to look into it. So anyways, then we started seeing these glitches on TV, what we called glitches, and where all of a sudden they'd show the numbers, and then the next time the numbers come through, like 30,000 votes would switch from Trump to Biden. We were like, what was that? Some clever people kept track and noticed this stuff on TV. And within a week after the stolen election, we started having probably a handful, maybe seven or so, of these incidents where people saw glitches on TV. It occurred, being a former international auditor, boy, it would be nice to get our hands on the data set that supports these numbers that are being communicated to the media. And sure enough, really, it was a miraculous thing. Within a day, I was able, somebody led me to this site called the Donald Wynn website, and there, sure enough, was this data set that was labeled the Edison data. And it's labeled Edison because Edison is the company that is involved in transferring knowledge, or supposedly the status of elections, to the media via these files. And I don't know if they're, what sort of format they're in, but when we got the file, we were able to download it into Excel. And it's a pretty big file that we had. But then we could start looking through it. Sure enough, we could see these glitches, and we could see these places where votes were taken away from Trump. And then we started seeing these other incidents. And this is really kind of across the swing states for sure, where we saw ballots dropped. Probably the most shocking, and I've mentioned this today over the last 24 hours, was in Virginia, of all places. And now you got to question Virginia's votes totally. But 330,000 ballots were dropped for Joe Biden, not once, but three times. They were what I'd call reversed twice from an accounting standpoint. It looked like those were reversing entries. And then the third time, they dropped it and it stuck. At the same time, they gave Trump like 30,000. So it was a 10-to-1 ratio in a huge amount, a 300,000 difference in net. In number of ballots dropped for Joe Biden. We found out that came from just one county later. But this was the kind of stuff that we started to notice in this data. The other thing that we noticed was after these massive drops, which occurred right around when they showed about 90% of the ballots were in, after that point, every single drop, every single reporting of votes in this system for these various states, always with very little exception, showed Joe Biden winning by a certain ratio. Like in one state, it's 51-49%. Biden gets all these ballots all the way for the last 10% of the votes, and sure enough, Biden wins. So, you know, it might have been 55-45 in another state. But regardless, it was always Joe Biden getting the win. Also, these massive drops always benefited Biden. And so what we've seen overnight, and I've reported on at the Gateway Pundit, you can go out there and see, in multiple elections here in 2022, the same things occurred. We're seeing massive drops for the Democrats. And then from that point forward, real smooth results up until the end of the election. And clearly, something's going on again. We labeled this the drop and roll. We've got a video out there on YouTube that's received about 3 million hits on it now so far. And it just kind of showed the 2020 election and how you just see these massive drops, and then suddenly everything after that point's real smooth. Both incidences are odd from an auditing perspective, because a large ballot drop's not normal, nor is smoothness in ballots. It should be more random, highs and lows for each candidate, and it's not. And so we know something's going on, and here we have it again, 22 election. I think this is really something. This is where it's at. It appears to me, my analysis, my guesstimate would be that they're using sequels to do this, and that's just a software that you can run programs against large data sets. Say, let's switch all these ballots from Trump to Biden. boom, boom, you change it, boom. Somebody that's somewhat proficient in SQL could do that in a matter of seconds, really. And it looks like that's what's happened really across the board. I just got some more information from my good friend Aaron Hughes, Professor Clement's wife in New Mexico. So we're just seeing it all over the place. And this is why we didn't win 30 or 40 seats in the House. It's not due to Joe Biden's nasty policies and people not recognizing it. It's due to fraud. So we'll have more about this, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. But we're on top of it. We're going to give you the truth, let you decide. Look forward to tomorrow. We've got Mr. Clements with us again, and it should be very interesting. Thanks for listening. This is Joe Hoff.